The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You talk about extremes, and I think the Arizona Republican Party, the rank and file, selected, again, the most extreme slate of candidates probably in modern American history, four election deniers who, despite all of the federal courts, all of the Trump appointees, all of the Trump Supreme Court justices, all of the Republicans who have said that this election was legitimate. The Republican slate of candidates this fall, insurrectionists, freaks, weirdos, really, really extreme, the most extreme slate of candidates in American history.
Yeah, and some of those in Arizona, not just casual election deniers. Mark Finchem, the nominee to be Secretary of State, was at the Capitol mm-hmm. on January 6th. He was at the Stop the Steal rally. Carrie Lake, the nominee for governor, has adopted the language of election denial. She was a different person, of course, a couple of years ago when she supported
Barack Obama. An Obama supporter.
Yeah. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. But she now says, yes, I have evidence that the 2020 election was rigged, except I'm not going to share it with you because you're in the fake news. So she keeps saying she's got evidence, but won't share it. But that's sort of beside the point, because now the four of them are on the doorstep. They're one step away, one election away in Arizona from being in positions of real power, where they could have, if they'd been in place in 2020, they could have done something to change the outcome of the 2020 election. They could have flipped votes there.
Well, and it's not- I guess our viewers can decide whether it's an overstatement to say that our form of American democracy is at risk if we start electing people who deny election results when their side loses.
Yeah. The election was tainted by this intrusion.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
I think there's a cloud of questions around what happened.
Clouds of questions, and we disagree on things, but
yeah. I think that there's no question that the process that elected him was not legitimate.
You agree with John Lewis on what
yes,
point?
That the president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate for all the reasons.
Figuratively, he's going to be president.
But isn't it more difficult now to work together when you've said flatly he's not even a legitimate president?
Well,
I don't recognize his legitimacy. John Lewis said that. He's a legitimate president.
Well, he was elected
on the fact that Donald Trump can't stand hearing that somehow he's not a legitimate president.
And
that he won fewer votes than Hillary Clinton.
Can't bear to tell him the truth.
And now the delegitimization of the presidency is taking hold within the country.
I think that there are lots of questions about its legitimacy.
Time here, Donna. My question to you is, was it a legitimate election? Does it count?
My personal view is that it was not a legitimate election.
So it doesn't count?
Full-scale meltdown in either case. If the one they don't approve of is voted in, they go into meltdown mode saying he's illegitimate. If theirs is one that cheats his way in, then the other side, they're insurrectionists. How dare they say that Joe Biden is illegitimate? They are being exposed, and especially in Arizona. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the audio stream of this broadcast through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And also, you can get to the full video stream of the show at our very own website. We offer it exclusively at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you straight to the live stream page. We don't want to forget about our Sunday broadcast at KFNX. That's in Arizona. That's right around the Phoenix area. That's 11 a.m. Arizona time. Every Sunday, we take this Friday broadcast and replay it in Arizona, and that's important because Arizona has been in the news this past week during the three-day election. It took 3 days for them to figure out that Carrie Lake won the primary. This was a much, much smaller election process than the presidential election from 2 years ago. And yet it was just so close, it took 3 days for them to figure it out. And then you see the Morning Joe reaction. They can't quite handle this. I mean, you could have a Trump-supporting governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and senator all coming out of Arizona in just a couple of months. Listen to Fox News, their take on Carrie Lake's victory. It says here, Carrie Lake has won the Republican nomination for governor in Arizona's primary election, the Associated Press called Thursday evening. So the AP finally called it last night. 3 full days, 72 hours it took to figure this out. It says here, this is again Fox News, for days the hotly contested race between former TV news anchor Carrie Lake and real estate developer and Arizona Board of Regents member Karen Taylor Robson was too close to call, as Lake's lead was fewer than 12,000 votes. As of Wednesday morning, Lake had 46.2% of the vote to Taylor Robson's 44.5%. Now, this is especially rich coming from Fox News, who called the Arizona race during the presidential election for Joe Biden at 8:20 p.m. election night in Arizona. The election desk at Fox, Brett Baer couldn't believe it. Are we calling it for Biden? Even the other networks didn't call it until days later. But Fox News led the way. And we write all about this in our book, our new book, America Under Attack. It'll be here from the printer any day now. Fox News led the way on the election steal November 3rd, 2020. How many votes did Joe Biden win by? This is a presidential election where you're talking about millions of votes, over 5 million, I believe, in one state, Arizona. And Joe Biden, he supposedly won by just over 10,000 votes. And yet, it was not too close to call on that Tuesday night, November 3rd, 2020. Fox News knew right away. As soon as the polling stations closed, Fox News knew it. Oh, yes. Listen for yourself. This is Fox News calling it for Joe Biden on election night, clip 12.
But what is this happening here? Why is Arizona blue? Did we just call it? Did we make a call in Arizona?
Well, let's see.
Now, there's a check mark. Did our decision desk make it?
Okay, time out. This is a big development.
Yeah.
The Fox News decision desk is calling Arizona for Joe Biden. That is a big get for the Biden campaign on Arizona.
Yeah.
You're 100% sure?
Yes.
And so all this pushback, you're going to say, we made the right call when we made it.
We made the correct call, and that's why we made the correct call when we made it. I'm sorry.
There they are, the night of the election, and not apologizing for it one bit, leading the way. I'm just looking at the graph here. Joe Biden supposedly got 1.67 million votes. Donald Trump got 1.66. So you add that together, that's what, 3.4 million votes. And Fox News, they knew within an hour or two of the polls closing in Arizona that Biden was going to win the state. 73% of the precincts had reported. So there was still quite a lot of counting to do. And as I say, he won barely by just over 10,000 votes. In this case, it took the AP 3 days, and they waited until 88% of the precincts had reported. So they're still not quite finished counting. And Carrie Lake has a 19,700 vote lead. And as we reported to you earlier this week, she was out there saying this on election night. The same day voting was in her favor, 7-3. She's winning all of the counties, and still, nobody can call it for her. Quite the contrary. They were calling on her to concede Tuesday night. You can't quite hear the reporter here, but listen to this exchange. This is a reporter basically badgering Carrie Lake. What's it going to take for you to concede here? This is clip 11.
Where
make you concede an election?
When the votes are counted, when the legal votes are counted, we're going to win. When the legal votes are counted, we're going to win. You realize that most of the Election Day ballots haven't been counted. Hopefully you're astute enough to know that, because I don't think you are. But when the legal votes are counted, when the day of votes are counted, we're winning 7-3 in the legal day of ballots. So when they're counted, we're going to win.
You see how it works? If they have a slim lead, it's over. It's over. Fox News called it in 2020. There's the reporter badgering her to concede. You wonder what would have happened on Tuesday night had she conceded. I'm in Maricopa County. They probably would have just stopped counting, knowing the direction that it was headed. 7-3. She's carrying all of the county. By the time it's said and done, winning every single county. And there was nobody in an election that, how many total votes is this? 336,000 for Carrie Lake, 317. So we're talking about 650 or 60,000 votes. They can't count that or even figure out the direction or the trend that ensures Carrie Lake's going to win in 3 days, or it takes 3 days. See, they're giving the game away, aren't they? The tale of two elections. How revealing. Here they've waited 3 days to see, let's be honest now, to see if it's close enough to effectuate some kind of a steal. If there's any kind of a pathway to tilt it in the favor of Robson. Where, by the way, where were the reporters yesterday and the day before yesterday badgering Robson for not conceding? She was behind. She's behind by almost 20,000 votes in a small little primary in a state where just 600,000-700,000 people voted. Where were the reporters chasing? I don't even know if I've seen Robson anywhere. Where's Mike Pence? He endorsed her. So the rules are this. If you're of the communist ideology and you have a razor-thin lead on election night, then the other side had better concede, or else he or she is an insurrectionist, pure and simple. If the other side is in a commanding lead, you wait and you wait and you wait. You wait for 3 days. You wait for a week if you have to, and figure out if there's a way to cheat without getting caught. That's the way the game works. In fact, if you want to make it even more precise, the strategy here, it's not even just if the Republican's leading. It's if the Trump-supporting Republican is leading. Because Robson's a Republican. She's on the bad side too, right? But see, she's establishment. She's got the full support of Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, Dick Cheney. We'll get to his clip in just a second. Oh, yes! And she thought there were some fishy things that went on in the 2020 election. Robson did. But, you know, as the mainstream media reported, she moved on. Yes, she moved on to the issues. And Carrie Lake just wouldn't let it go. And so she's dangerous. Same with Mark Fincham. Same with the new attorney general, or the one running for the office. They're dangerous. Because Donald Trump is the target here. And look, Dick Cheney, he made that obviously clear yesterday. Liz Cheney, she's what, 10, 11 days away from probably losing in her primary? And so this is, I mean, one final act of desperation. This is all that she's got, is just go after the bad orange man. And so she brings her dad out of retirement. Dick Cheney, the former vice president who served under George W. Bush. Listen to this campaign ad from yesterday, clip one.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office.
wait a second, did he say the quiet part out loud there, right at the end? There is nothing more important Liz will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. So is that what the January 6th committee is all about? I thought they were trying to get to the truth. Wasn't she on with Brett Baer just the other day? What was it she told Brett Baer in this exchange with him? If I can find it. The goal of the committee and our obligation is our legislative purpose of looking at whether or not, for example, we need enhanced criminal penalties for the kind of activity Donald Trump engaged in when he attempted to pressure the Georgia officials. So they're trying to get to the truth. Do they need more penalties? Did he break the law? But here's Dick Cheney saying the goal here, the goal, states it right out in the open. It's on TV in Wyoming. She'll never have a greater responsibility than keeping Donald Trump away from the Oval Office. Well, how about if the American people had something to say about that? How about if the people of Wyoming had something to say about that? There's Dick Cheney saying the quiet part out loud. The Uniparty. He's a Republican. He worked for George W. Bush. You look back, and again, America Under Attack gives you some pretty good context. And for obvious reasons, the focus is on what Obama did when he got in there in 2009. But go back before him, another 8 years, and you see all the mechanisms that were put in place by George W. Bush using 9/11 as a pretext. Yeah, well, we need to enhance our spying mechanisms. And we need to kick up as much dust as we can all over the world with wars and going after terrorists. And I mean, you couldn't help but to look at that and say, well, look, we did sustain a massive black eye on 9/11. And so the effort to go after terrorisms, as much as it might have started off on a good footing, look at what it just gave to Barack Obama when he arrived 8 years later. As he took all of those mechanisms, he used all of those government agencies then for political purposes. He turned and aimed them at political opponents and purged these agencies of patriots and put in good communists, card-carrying communists. That's what John Brennan was. He actually voted communist in the 1970s. And then Barack Obama, as I said yesterday, he's bragging in his biography. He's bragging in his bio about how he loved those Marxist professors. If you stand against this communist infiltration, and look, you look at what side Dick Cheney is on, what he just said there, to repeat it again, there's nothing more important Liz will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. Donald Trump is the big concern. He's the problem. He's the grave danger. It says something, doesn't it, when you've got Dick Cheney, who has more in common with Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi than he does with Donald Trump. Listen to this montage. This was on Fox News yesterday of Nancy Pelosi, clip 5.
Trump administration's reckless, rash decisions are no substitute for real global leadership. I sadly beseech President Trump to apologize to the American people for his disgraceful, dangerous, and damaging behavior. What the president did was dangerous. Clearly, it takes preparation, which the president didn't make. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security.
And amen to that, says Dick Cheney. Oh, yes. Same with Liz. Donald Trump's the dangerous one. You look at these two elections. Well, even just look at the economy. Look at what's happening to the United States at this moment. Here we've got sky-high inflation, record-setting fuel costs, wages that can't keep up with the costs for goods at the store. And what about Liz Cheney's accomplishments or what she's done for Wyoming or for the American people? None of that. It's a 1 minute promo from her father, Dick Cheney. And he sums it up at the end saying, there's no more important, nothing more important that Liz will ever do than lead the effort. She's leading it to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And meanwhile, you've got dumpster fire after dumpster fire going up all over the country. What about crime? What about the southern border? I'm supporting Liz Cheney because she's for this, this, and this. No. What I'm really proud of her for is leading the effort to keep Donald Trump out of office. He gives the game away, pure and simple. That's the goal. That's the objective of the January 6th committee. That's why it's so completely one-sided. That's why they won't let Republicans in. You've got to be one of the card-carrying communists on the committee. Otherwise, you're not allowed to be heard. Carrie Lake, she's disqualified because she's an insurrectionist. So we've got to do anything that we can, even though there's lots and lots of scrutiny on Maricopa County. Look, stretch it out for 3 days, even though she's got a commanding lead. Stretch it out for 3 days, and we'll see if there's some way, if there's some way that the fraud can just get her opponent over the finish line. As I say, meanwhile, in the United States of America, here's CBS from yesterday, clip two.
For most Americans, their wages are going up, but they're not going up as fast as inflation. So most Americans' real wages, real incomes are going down. That's why families are finding it increasingly hard to make ends meet. When they go to the grocery store, when they buy necessities, they're not able to buy as much because they're getting a real wage cut because inflation is growing so quickly.
The Washington Examiner says in the latest economic survey from Rasmussen Reports, 62% now believe that the economy is in recession, even though the Joe Obama people they've redefined the word recession, including nearly half of Democrats. Even Democrats don't buy it. And so when it comes time to bring Dad out of hiding for the campaign commercial, you want to talk about the economy, you want to talk about the recession, you want to talk about border security, you want to talk about crime? Nope, it's Donald Trump. Just keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office. I'm happy with Barack Obama. I'm happy with Nancy Pelosi. I'm happy with any of them. Any of them but Donald Trump. Listen to this sobering update on the economy from Peter Schiff, clip four.
Well, first of all, remember, Laura, every dime that the government spends constitutes a tax. Spending is taxation because all that spending has to be paid for. But the recession that we are currently in is actually a lot worse already than people think. Look at the data that came out on Friday on household debt surging to a new all-time record high, $16.15 trillion. You know, American families have taken on $2 trillion of debt just since the pandemic. But worse, the national debt has increased by $8 trillion during the same time period. American households are responsible for paying that debt, but they're already drowning in their own debt. Credit card debt year over year just rose by the most in 20 years, and that's because Americans are having to put their groceries on their credit cards because they're taking unprecedented pay cuts in a very weak labor market.
This is disastrous, what's happening. And these are all brought on by Biden's policies. And the spending packages that they brag about or that they name inflation-reducing spending, as he points out there, it's taxation. It's raising taxes because taxpayers have to pay for the $700 billion. Of course! And right now, Americans can't afford it. They themselves, as Schiff just noted, they're going into debt themselves. Listen to the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, yesterday talking about why we've got to make the electronic vehicles more affordable for ordinary Americans. This is clip six.
Look, this is what happens when you have a cartel that is mm-hmm. deciding what the production levels will be and therefore the prices. This is not a normal textbook, you know, supply and demand sort of situation. Governments decide, especially the governments of OPEC and those countries, dictate a lot of the dynamics around oil prices. And it's one of many, many reasons why Americans will be better off when we have more domestic clean energy production. One of the many, many benefits of transitioning the way we fuel our cars, for example, to make them more efficient and ultimately mm-hmm. Liberate more Americans from having to worry about decisions that are being made in capitals in the Middle East.
I love how he says those governments in the Middle East, they decide and dictate how much oil is produced and so on. And so we don't want to be beholden to them. We don't want for them to control our economy. So we've got to go green. And meanwhile, we've got so much oil reserves on our own soil. And these people come in and they stop that. They shut down pipelines. They say no more drilling. We don't want oil. They're deciding. They're dictating. The Joe Obama people. And then how convenient of it. How convenient is it for them to then say, well, look at the OPEC people, the cartel. We don't want to be controlled by the cartel. So let's go green. Everyone get an electric vehicle. America is under attack. It's under attack. This, as I've been saying this week, our new book could not be coming out at a better time. It'll be in sometime next week. If you haven't secured your copy yet or ordered it, the toll-free number is 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
So do you agree that the allegation of secret collusion between President Trump and Russia was a hoax? Yes or no?
I don't think that's the terminology I would use, but I think there's been a lot written on this subject, and both in the special counsel's report, the inspector general's
just
report.
Yes or no is fine.
So that's not a term I would use.
Okay. Do you agree that the Hunter Biden laptop was not Russia disinformation?
Now you're asking about an ongoing investigation that I expect our folks to pursue aggressively, and I can't comment on that.
Okay, and you possess the laptop, right?
Again, I can't discuss that ongoing investigation.
What a disgrace. FBI director. The director of the FBI of the United States of America cannot bring himself to admit that the Trump-Russia collusion story was a hoax. And then, added to that, he can't bring himself to admit that the Hunter Biden laptop is not Russian disinformation. Even his friends in the media have admitted it's Hunter's. It belongs to the Biden people. But this is the best we get. Our people are aggressively looking into this laptop that we've had for almost 3 years. 3 years. Here again, the tale of two investigations. Look at how quickly Obama was able to put the Crossfire Hurricane into action. Rapid moving action. And with the help and support of the FBI, the DOJ, all of them. They were all in on it, trying to bring down Donald Trump, just like Dick Cheney once. Never again should he be near the Oval Office. And meanwhile, they've had the Hunter Biden laptop. And the FBI could have spoken up during the, speaking of hoaxes, during the impeachment hoax. But now he's talking about, we're serious. We're looking into it. Do you still have the laptop? I can't get into that. We can't really go there. For 3 years, they've had all of this information, all of this damning evidence about the Biden crime family. And they all think the same way, don't they? Joe Scarborough, Chris Wray, Dick Cheney, they're all cut from the same cloth. They're all part of the communist infiltration that Herbert Armstrong prophesied of. Back in the 1980s, back in the 1970s, back in the 1960s. Maybe some of them don't realize just how much of that communist influence they're under. But they're part of it. This letter from Sean McHugh, he wrote it to Gateway Pundit. I referenced it yesterday. He's been in jail for a year and a half. This is happening in the United States of America, the American gulag in Washington, D.C., people want to go on and on about this WNBA player in Russia. Well, it does seem like a harsh sentence for carrying marijuana into Moscow, but it is illegal over there. And that's the penalty she's going to have to pay unless Joe Obama can trade some kind of terrorist or arms dealer for her. I'm sure they'll work that out as well. We'll see another lopsided prisoner swap. In the spirit of Bo Bergdahl, here we go again. And meanwhile, you've got ordinary citizens languishing away in jail, awaiting a trial in some cases, with some government-appointed lawyer working on their behalf who could care less that they're rotting away. This is from Sean McHugh. And again, sometimes they'll say anything to try to get out of jail. But if this is true, and you know some of it's true because we know about Ray Epps, we've seen him on video inciting the crowd. It says, on the morning of January 6th, my mother, friend, and I were walking down Constitution Avenue toward Ellipse Park. I was talking into my megaphone, something about Joe Biden, when I was waved down by who I now know as Ray Epps. We walked over to Ray Epps and associates who were wearing military colors. He was yelling, "We are marching over to the Capitol at 1 p.m., whether Trump is done speaking or not, and we are going inside." Now, we now know that the so-called insurrection, it was in action before Donald Trump even ended his speech. You know, the speech where he said, "We're going to do this peacefully, our protest." But the Ray Epps crowd, they were already moving on the Capitol. They were already heading into the Capitol. It says here, Sean's letter says, "Now I'm facing decades in prison. I'm up against the full weight of the DOJ, the DC gulag, a very biased court circuit, and the mainstream media lies with nothing but a court-appointed lawyer who seems to be working against me. I wish to put Ray Epps on the stand to answer the tough questions. Why is Ray Epps not in jail for inciting the crowd or obstruction of Congress or seditious conspiracy, where is equal application of the law? Who was he there with? What were his motives? And who does he work for? Why did he keep repeating that we need to go inside? Not only a day before January 6th, but even after being met with police force outside the Capitol. And he's living peacefully now at the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. Sean says here, why am I being treated harshly and Ray Epps is free to go when he was clearly more involved in the events of January 6th? God bless America. Pray for justice. Pray for truth. Well, it's going to be hard to get some of that when you've got people like Chris Wray in control. And above him, Merrick Garland. It says you just compare the way the elections go when it's not quite going the way they want it to one where they've got a slim lead. Or compare this investigation, the way that it goes, the way that they hurry into it, even with no evidence. And then the way they've got this laptop with all this evidence and they just slow walk it along. Initially, they said it was from Russia. And the director of the FBI can't even bring himself to say, well, that obviously all those intelligence agents that signed off on the document saying it was Russian disinformation, that's been thoroughly and repeatedly disproven as a hoax. Can't say that? You can't testify that? Just to make Americans feel maybe a little bit better about the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Look at this video, chilling video from the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Clip 3.
I can't believe this.
There's your Capitol Police launching flashbangs into the crowd. Most of them just there standing. You know, okay, if you want to focus in on the four or five that were shoving police officers, well, go ahead, arrest them. But standing outside the Capitol with a Trump flag? They were firing into the crowd. So connect all of these dots. Ray Epps there saying, we're going inside. We're going inside. And then the Capitol Police opening the doors after they're firing flashbangs into the crowd, a mostly peaceful protest, certainly a lot more peaceful than the ones we saw in front of burning buildings in 2020. This was nothing like that. And anyone with an open mind, anyone with eyes to see can see this. And it's the same with the election steal. Kerry Lake, Mark Fincham, they see it. They see how Maricopa County operates. They see how that they can't count 600,000 votes in one day. It's impossible. But boy, on election night, when Fox is ready to take the lead, they know Biden's the winner. Yes, Biden won for sure. And so Kerry Lake campaigns and says, we've got to clean this up. And Joe Scarborough is beside himself. I wonder, by the way, if Liz Cheney's at all interested in that video, that footage that you just saw. I wonder if that footage is why we haven't seen something like 14,000 other hours of footage from all over the Capitol. Liz Cheney, she is leading the way. Do you think her father is at all concerned about that footage that you saw right there? No, he says there's nothing more important that Liz will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. I mean, it's an attack. It also is some kind of sickness. Just like it says in Isaiah 1, notice this, Isaiah 1 and verse 2, it says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Eternal has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. We're living at a time when the transgressors have come to the full, a nation just drenched in sin, sin-laden. That's what the prophet is describing here. Verse 4 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Eternal and have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. I was telling the campers when they were here for the summer educational program just how hard we have to work in the ministry to really make sure that we keep sin out of the academy or the college or a summer camp. Now, none of us are perfect. Even we in the ministry, as Hebrews 5 brings out, we're encompassed with infirmity as well. But we can't just let sin hang around. The Bible compares it to leaven. And leaven will leaven the entire lump, just a little pinch of it. You can see why there's so much corruption, so much evil, so much filth right across our society, because we've just let this cancer grow. It has spread for many, many decades now. You know, as I played for you yesterday, when Mr. Armstrong's writing about, this is all in He Was Right, by the way, He Was Right, about the communist infiltration in the United States of America. He was writing this back in the 1950s. And he was saying, look, it's starting in academia, it's in government, and it has spread. Hasn't it spread since then? Now, like I said on yesterday's show, you've got commentators who are saying or using the word communist. Communists that have gotten control of the levers of government, academia, and on, and certainly Hollywood. If you don't have He Was Right, well, let me just say, He was right. And this is all that you need to know to see that. The 800 number, if you live in the United States, Canada, it's 1-866-930-3024. So what happens? What happens when you don't confront sin and get it out? It always, always, always spreads. And that's what we're seeing on the national level. We saw it happen in spiritual Israel as well. Look at what happened following the death of Herbert Armstrong. Speaking of Mr. Armstrong, he died in January 1986. And it was just a matter of a few years. And that church, the entire church, with something like 120,000 members, hundreds and hundreds of ministers, that church was fundamentally transformed in just 2 or 3 years' time. It was already in motion before Mr. Armstrong even died. But a couple, 3 years after that, you couldn't even recognize the Worldwide Church of God. It had been so fundamentally and thoroughly transformed. The transgressors had come to the full. Here in verse 6, Isaiah 1, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So many sores and sickness and disease and wounds, and no bandages, no healing, nothing. Spiritually speaking, this is where we are. Notice again God's assessment down in verse 9. It says, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. It says, woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. We reward evil. We're rewarding the criminals. We're covering up criminal activity. Even when we've got all the evidence, even when we're sitting on the laptop, we have the laptop. And yet the forces of evil are so strong that a Department of Justice covers it up. Covers it up. Do you even have the laptop? They can't answer that. They can't talk about ongoing investigations. How long is this investigation going to take? I mean, you open up a laptop. It's pretty obvious. If you just start sifting through the files, you've got everything you need. We declare our sin as Sodom. You see, there's just no shame whatsoever. We take pride in this broken, anti-family culture. A total breakdown. Mr. Armstrong, speaking of, he was right. He talked about how that the breakdown of the traditional family, it posed a greater threat to our civilization, to our nation, than the hydrogen bomb. It's because it's like a sickness that is spread. Just like Isaiah is discussing here. Verse 10, it says, "Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Now, the prophet Isaiah, he's writing this long after Sodom and Gomorrah went up in flames. You can read about that in the book of Genesis. So, who is God talking about here? Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Well, I'll refer you to another book. Who's the modern day people of Sodom and Gomorrah? If you don't have this one, the United States and Britain in Prophecy, again, the 800 number, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, 1-866-930-3024. If you don't have the United States and Britain in Prophecy, request it today and see why. See why more than 6 million people, 6 million households have requested this book from all over the earth, all over the world. It really is Herbert Armstrong's signature work on Bible prophecy. You rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah, this was that quote I mentioned, missing dimension in sex, he says, Mr. Armstrong does, since it's a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. It's going to take a family to fix this, the God family. It's going to take God's intervention to save today's sick society. The sickness has set in and it has spread. The disease is everywhere. The transgressors have come to the full. It's from head to toe. I'm just giving you what the Bible's assessment is. Romans 1, notice this, in the New Testament, this is the Apostle Paul. He says in this chapter that, you know, this is what happens when you don't give God thanks, when you don't keep God at the center, when you don't acknowledge your Creator and Maker. Verse 23 in the Revised Standard, it says, "In exchange, the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles." See, instead of worshiping the true God, here we have all kinds of idols that we put in the place of God. I mean, we'll practically worship anything in this material creation except the one who created it, except the one who gave us all these substances. Materialism itself is a god for so many people, an idol. Verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." God gave them. Is God trying to change the vast majority of people on earth today? Is he desperately trying to get as many people saved as possible before it's too late? Just consider this verse again. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." God just said, "All right, if you're not going to keep me at the center, if you're not going to give me thanks, then I'm going to give you over to uncleanness. Go ahead and worship the God of this world." 2 Corinthians 4:4. I mean, you can look at Genesis 3 and again see the same thing, essentially. God saying, "All right, if you choose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then I'm going to cut you off from the tree of life. You're not going to have access. to the tree of life, to the tree that represents the Holy Spirit, to the tree that represents my mind, my power, godly education, and truth. So we're just left to our own devices, and that's a very dangerous position to be in, given what it says in Ephesians 2:2 about the prince of the power of the air. You see, as I've said so many times on this program, you look around, just give it a simple survey for a few moments, or consider the first segment of this show, generally speaking, every day, and you see Satan's fingerprints on this world, on this nation, on the systems of government and academia, even business, the economy, everything. It really is, it's turned into a Babylon of confusion. And sad to say, that's the way it is in religion as well. There's something for everyone out there. Precious few are willing to just look into the Bible and to believe what it says. Look at what it says about God. God gave them up to uncleanness. He's not desperately trying to save everyone before it's too late. He's letting this run its course. Now, he's preparing his family, and that's just a tiny little flock. It says that in Matthew 10. Just a few sheep that Christ is leading. He's the shepherd, the good shepherd, 1 Peter 2. God is preparing a bride to marry his son, Jesus Christ. So the solution to this nightmare, it's in place. We're still in training, but we're going to be marrying Jesus Christ in just a few short years. And the government of God, God's family, is going to be firmly established on the throne of God, located in Jerusalem. And all nations, let's just look at that in conclusion. I had a little bit of a different direction my notes were going in, but we'll finish here on a really positive note. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And verse 14, it says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly." I mean, there are some woes coming quickly as these prophecies are fulfilled. As we see so many of these earth-shaking prophecies happen exactly the way God says, or God said that it would, in some cases thousands and thousands of years ago. But notice this, verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms," plural, "the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So we see in Romans 1 where God in this world, this present evil world, Galatians 1:4, God says, all right, if you're going to reject me and not give thanks and not keep me at the heart or at the center of society, then I'm going to give you over to uncleanness. But here, and it all happens at the return of Jesus Christ, here is where God, the God family, gathers in the nations, and all nations, all kingdoms become God's. God now firmly, you see, at the center. This is talking about what happens after the great tribulation and the day of the Lord, after the return of Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives, and the marriage between Christ and the church, and then all the nations, all the kingdoms of this world become God's. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget, next week is the big week. That's when America Under Attack arrives in our MPC facility here in Edmond, Oklahoma. If you don't yet have a copy of that or an order, you haven't ordered a copy of that, you can call our operators today. If you're in the United States or Canada or the Caribbean, the call is toll-free, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We appreciate you joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.